scripture comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, a very familiar scripture to many. But I want to use it as our primary foundation of our text, of our stories and conversations this morning. Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, from the New International Version. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandment, my commands in your heart. They will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on him, your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Well, we come today to part three of a four-week conversation focusing on the power of trust in our lives and how it can change who we are. In fact, today's message has got a lot to cover, and so I'm going to do what I almost never do, and I'm going to break it into 2 weeks. So if you want to get the whole message, you've got to come back next Sunday. Sorry. But I want to give you part one of this message, the trust test, in this three-week of conversations. We began in our first 2 weeks asking two vital questions. The first was, can I trust God? Can I trust God to be with me, to know me, to protect and defend me, to provide for my needs and those of those around me that I love? Can I really trust God in my life every way and every day? The second question we talked about last week is, can God trust me? Can God trust me to use the resources he's given into my life, all that I have, to invest for him, to use my life for his purposes? Can God trust me? Say that the key learning is that everything we have, everything that we own, belongs not to us, but to God. And can God trust me to use those things for his purposes? Well, today and next Sunday, I want to talk about managing those resources God's entrusted to us, God's put into our lives. I want to share with you what might be called the trust test. I want to work through this issue of trust and see how we as God's children score on what we might call the trust test. I think for almost all of us, there comes a place in our lives where we have to ask the simple question, can I really, really trust God? Not just the Sunday school answer, but when it gets down to it, am I really going to trust God? I trust him with my life, with my future, with my family, with my job, with my health, with my possessions. We come to a place where we have to cross a line in our lives. A line that says either, yes, I do trust him and my life will show it in the decisions that I make, in the way that I live, in my relationships and everything else that I do. Or facing that line, step back from it, never crossing it, saying, honestly, no, I just can't honestly trust God in that way. If we do that, then we find that our lives begin to stagnate and we live anxiously. Try to give us some handles to grab onto this morning to help us with this idea of trust. I want to use it's not an acronym because you can't really say it. It doesn't make that kind of sense, but it's more of an acrostic with the letters of the word trust. I'll leave them to you briefly here, then we'll go back and unpack them more. Trust, you know how to spell it. The first letter T of trust is to take an inventory. Take an inventory of whether or not we really do trust God. The R in trust is to recognize God as our source. We need to realize and take this inventory of our life that everything that you and I have right now is a gift from God. He is the source of everything we can point to, touch, think of as ours. The letter U would stand for understanding God's principles. Until we understand God's principles and put them to work in our lives, we're always going to be questioning and holding back our trust in God. The letter S is surrendering everything to God. The moment that we understand those principles that God has for us, then it's up to us to choose to surrender. And the letter T, the second T in trust, is to test God's promises. We need to look at God's word and test his promises to us that we find there. And God proves himself to us. We begin to understand. Our faith begins to build. So let's spend more time with each of those letters. The first letter T is take an inventory. And I want us to look briefly at a couple of scriptures. One of those that we read this morning together. The other one is from Psalm 139. I don't know if you have Bibles with you this morning, but if you do, I'd invite you to open them up. Or if you have your smartphone, you can open the church app, and today's scripture will be there at least. Or you can go to a Bible app on your smartphone and find others of those. But let me share with you a couple of things. The first one is from Psalm 139. Verses 23 and 24. And you may as well jot down the references because I may go faster than you can follow. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist there says, God, look deep inside of me, deep down into my heart, and find out everything that I'm thinking. Don't let me follow evil ways, but lead me in the way that time has proven true. Lead me in the ways everlasting. There are three observations I want to lift up from that little brief piece in Psalm 139. First of all, only God knows everything about us. Only God knows, even more than we know about ourselves. He said, look deep into my heart and find everything I'm thinking. In other words, I don't even know what's down there. Look deep into the depths of who I am and help me understand who I am. And protect me from doing things I shouldn't do and lead me in the ways that bless you and will bless me. God, reveal to me what you want me to know about who I am. God helps us, helps him in this case, helps us take our own inventories. The second one is God. Only God can lead me correctly, saying, don't let me follow what's evil, but into what has been proven true. And the third observation of that text in 139 is that the process of taking inventory and trusting God begins with us, each of us, in our own lives. And the whole issue begins with us. And it's a very, very personal inventory. So back to the scripture that we use this morning, Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to look at specifically at 5 through 10 if you have your Bibles out. And I don't know, for some folks this is sacrilegious, for others of us it's not. If you ever write in your Bible, which is a good thing, I think, you may not agree. I would invite you as we follow along in this section right here to circle the number, each time you hear it, a personal pronoun, to give you the awareness of how personal this inventory is. Starting with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him. He will make your paths straight. Now be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats with a barrel of new wine. I count 11 times in 6 verses. It's a personal inventory. These are personal promises God's making. We need to ask God to help reveal for us to ourselves what God wants to do in our lives. If we'll do our part, God does his part. As we take that personal inventory, we begin to see ourselves more honestly. The letter R is the second letter in the word trust, and I'm using it to recognize God as your source. I mentioned this verse last week, Deuteronomy 8:18, where God speaks and says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, in order that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as at this day." We need to come to a place in our lives where we recognize that God as source in our lives. Recognize that God knows everything. There's nothing hidden from God. He knows our inventory, good and bad, better than we do. So I was going through scripture this week. There's so many places that tell us that God is the source of our lives. James 1:17 sums it up, I think, as well as anything else, when he says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that we have that is a blessing to us comes from above. James 1, verse 17. Moving on to the letter U, understanding God's principles. There are 3 reasons why Christians don't give more to God than we do. At least 3, but here are 3 that I want to lift up. Number 1, they don't think they can give more and meet their own needs. Most of the time when we start thinking about resources and finances, people say, "Well, I'm not sure that I can give and still take care of my family, still meet my budget and my own needs." And so we're frightened and we step back. Second reason that we don't give more is that we really don't know how to give. We've never learned that in our lives. And a third reason is that sometimes we don't make plans to give. Because we lack planning, we're always in an emergency level, you know, where you watch the gauges and they get up toward the hot. You know, we're always this far financially and we don't have room to do something. So we don't have plans to give. And I would encourage you to attend a personal financial seminar we'll be offering in January. At least one setting of it, right? And more than that as well, too. To help us plan our lives financially and learn how we can have power in our relationship with the finances God puts into our lives. The letter S stands for stewardship principles that make a difference. And there are a lot of these, and I'm going to spend the rest of my time this morning in the letter S, and we'll pick up S and T next week in part 2. The first stewardship principle I want to mention is the who's in charge principle. Psalm 24, verse 1 talks about that. It says, "The earth and everything that's in it belongs to the Lord. The world and his people belong to him." Basically, the issue is God's the owner, I'm the manager. So who's going to run my life? The owner or the manager? The second stewardship principle is the give and grow principle. Practicing stewardship produces growth. As Timothy Johnson has said, "Some say dedicate the heart and the money will follow. But our Lord put it the other way around. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If your treasure is dedicated, your heart will be dedicated. If it's not, your heart simply won't. It's as simple as that. I sat down thinking about all the things that happen if we, in growing in our lives as we give ourselves to God. As we practice this good stewardship, it enables us to grow. We find our spiritual gifts and we learn to use them. It increases our faith. We become spiritually sensitive. We're more effective and fruitful for God's purposes, God's kingdom. We receive a blessing from God. We are a blessing to others. We make lasting contributions. As we give, we grow. The third principle, stewardship principle, is the do-it-now principle. It deals with our present resources. The person who, Samuel Johnson, said, the person who waits to do a great deal of good at once will never do anything. The question for me as I wrestle with this and people I've asked along the way is, how long will we wait with the resources God has given us before we trust God enough to do something about what we've got right now? What are we doing with our present resources? I've heard the conversation more than a few times, always, of course, sort of with tongue in cheek, because they can't say it with a straight face otherwise. They say, you know, if I just won the lottery last week, I'd have given it all to the church. Maybe they say it with tongue in cheek because I'm not going to get away with that. Because my response has always been, what are you talking about? If you won't give God 10% now, you're not going to give 100% later on. And that kind of takes the tongue out of their cheek and the light out of their eyes. What do we do with the resources that we have? As an issue of trusting God as our source to provide for us in our lives. There's a story that you've probably heard. There was a man who told the story that when he had gone to church some years ago and the offering came around, he only had a $20 bill to his name. That was it. And he threw it into the offering plate. And soon after that, he became rich, millionaire. And he began going around telling his story, witnessing his witness, you know, about how God had blessed him because he trusted God. And if he gave it all, God gave it all back to him. And he was a millionaire, and now he was famous in telling his stories. And he went from town to town. And one night he was in Toledo, Ohio. And as he told his story, folks just clapped as they always did. Just what a wonderful thing to hear. But one lady raised her hand. You know, and he saw her and he says, yes, ma'am, you have a question? He says, help me understand. Make sure I'm clear on this. You went to church and you only had $20 and you put the whole $20 in the offering plate. Yes, ma'am, I did. And God made you a millionaire. Exactly what happened. And you believe it's because you gave that $20 that God blessed you and made you a millionaire. That's the way it works. He says, well, I got a question then. Would you like to do it again? I don't know how, what your history is in your giving throughout your life and how you began. I know that I was taught when I was young, start doing this as far as proportional tithing, you know, giving and tithing. And you know, it was really kind of fun when I was making $2 or $10. But the first time I brought home a $200 work check, that's $20. I could do a lot with $20. And then when that work check got bigger than that, it became even harder still. What are you going to do with what you got? Put it in the offering plate, it'll make you rich and famous, apparently. But even if not, God provides in our lives. We use those spiritual cliches, you know, how God will provide. And it's true, God does provide in so many ways. But we need to understand that God has already provided in so many ways as well. The issue is not God's provision. The issue is for us to learn to manage the resources God's given us as a good steward and to pass them on and to realize that God uses us to provide as well. Tony Campolo tells a story of one time he was invited, kind of last minute. He was going to another event in an area to teach and preach, and he was invited at the last minute to go to it was a southern town, and it was the elite women. It was some kind of league. And forgive me, I don't know. Some of you may belong to those things. But it was the upper echelon as far as socioeconomic and the women in the community doing something good. And he came and he spoke to them as they asked him to. They were trying to raise, you know, some money for something. And as they talked, as he talked, and then came to the end, and the lady said, "Pastor Campolo, will you pray for God to provide the money to make this possible?" He says, "No, I won't." And they were just horrified. "I won't, because it's already here in this room." And he said, "I believe we can do what you want to do just by emptying out the purses that you have today and writing checks that you can afford to do. I won't pray for the other. I'll pray for the project as you do that." And they grumbled and they groaned and looked at each other, and they started doing that. They just grabbed in some things that they had along the way, and some wrote a few well-placed checks, and they raised the funds. God does provide for us, yes. God already has provided for us. And some of us are sitting on it this morning. Others have it beside us in their purses. As we learn to lead our lives in ways that are conducive to having the freedom to give, if I learn not to live up to here all the time, then I have the freedom to give intentionally for causes that matter in my life. We do have the cliches, God will provide, but the truth is God has, and it does provide, the truth is God has already provided in so many ways if we've learned how to be good stewards of that. Well, here's a principle you might identify with. Stewardship principle number 4 is the I'm in debt principle. I'm doing that really well. I'm in debt principle. Albert Schweitzer, great humanitarian of the first half of the 20th century, once wrote, "Whatever you've received more than others, in health, in talents, in ability, in success, in a pleasant childhood, in harmonious conditions of home life, all this you must not take for yourself as a matter of course. All this you must not take for granted. In gratitude for your good fortune, you must render some sacrifice of your own life for another life." Even the Apostle Paul knew that the I'm in debt principle is true. In Romans chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For I owe a great debt to you and everyone else." If we understand the truth, we're going to be honest about it, we are in debt from the time we're born. We owe a debt to God for all that he is and all that he gives, all the blessings God has given us. Like, remember, every good and perfect gift comes from God. I'm indebted to God. You're indebted to God. We need to understand that. A second indebtedness is that we are indebted to the previous generation that's come before us. We mentioned, and appropriately so, the marking. Celebrating is not necessarily, well, it is celebrating too, but Veterans Day. The sacrifices that was made on our behalf, we enjoy because of their sacrifice. But it's true also even of our communities, and it's true in our own congregation. We have what we have. We have the strength that we have, and we are in debt to those who come before us in this congregation who have been faithful, had a vision for the future, and committed themselves, their resources to it. We owe a debt to God, and we owe a debt to the generations that come before us. And we owe a debt to a third as well. Different kind of debt, but I think it still fits. We owe a debt to the coming generation. We aren't intended to be the last generation of this congregation. We owe a debt to them to give them the opportunity to be able to thrive in the future in ministry for Christ's sake in this community. Preparing for that as we give ourselves to that, to prepare them this opportunity to thrive. We owe a debt to God, we owe a debt to those who came before, and we owe a debt, an obligation, maybe is a better word, to those who come after. Stewardship principle number 5, the fountain of youth principle. We live forever through our giving. Jesus said, what we keep, we lose. What we lose, we keep. Calvin Coolidge once said, no enterprise can exist for itself alone. It ministers to some great need. It performs some great service, not for itself, but for others. Or failing therein, it ceases to be profitable and it ceases to exist. Now, obviously, folks, this is an unfinished message. It feels that way to me. It must feel that way to you. But it's going to be finished next week, and I hope you'll come. But here's what excites me about who we are. What excites me is we have a vision that's greater than just for our own congregation. We don't just exist to sit in our pew and to wait until Jesus comes. A vision, not just to help ourselves, but to reach our community. That's part of what this whole vision team process I mentioned this morning is about. The vision is for God's kingdom. And that's the only kind of vision that'll last. I invite you to join me next Sunday as we finish this conversation about trust.